turn back with me to the third chapter of the Song of Solomon. And with the Lord's help, and certainly only with the Lord's help, shall we continue. From the place we were Wednesday evening. Then shall the church come to know, taste, feel. That's almost foreign language. In this age of Christianity, come to know. Head knowledge is not sufficient. The devils know. Even believe that Christ is God. It produces a trembling in them, something that is unknown today. A trembling in us. We're so far removed from the realized presence of God. That's an unknown theme. God in our midst. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. You really think that he is? And though he might be for one or some, is he there? No. A realized presence, is he that to you? When will we get back? We can only hope and pray that it will be in our lifetime. Would you pray with me before we read that first verse? Our Father, and I'm not permitted to use that term, being born of Adam. But we are, if in Christ, if birthed from above, if the Spirit of God dwells within us, then we can, by him, use the term Abba Father. Lord, I often wonder how much of God is truly known. our hearts. Or would we be right at times just to take up the theme of the great apostle, the unknown God whom ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Father, our eternal existence in glory is dependent upon knowing thee. And no man can know thee apart from the revelation of God to our hearts. And then we come to speak about a Christ. And you use that word and religion always begins to paint her a picture of what she believes he is. She'll draw up the rules and regulations of how he ought to act, what he owes her. Father, I trust we. I do trust it is so that we come not seeking great things, just thee. And if we find thee, then we will hold you and not let you go. That we will bow before you in humble adoration and thanksgiving. And that if in this hour we're blessed with a realized sense of thy presence, and we'll sit there as a worshiper Father, if that does not happen, we're going to hear somewhat. We're going to leave. A great possibility is that we're going to leave most of what we heard behind. And we'll go back to become engaged again in life. Would you help us? Grant that our worship not be in vain, but in spirit and sincerity and in truth. And Father, I pray and ask. I do not know the minds of these, certainly not the hearts. But would you lift all of us above present circumstances, reality, even life itself, And would you, for the children, sound that trumpet in their souls when a boy is saying, come up hither. We'll never progress on until we see thee. Begin to know thee as thou art. Father, help. That such an overcoming task and there's such inadequacy in this creature, physically and mentally, to do that which you'd have done today. Leave me not to self, no more than you leave these to themselves in hearing, and glorify Christ. We ask in his name. Amen. By night, as I told you Wednesday night, I will not enlarge upon that. We've spent a great deal of time speaking to you about night, darkness, physical activity can't be done. And we are in great darkness in this land. But by night, on my bed, I saw him. So getting to Christ is not a physical act. It's a spiritual act. I sought him. Whom my soul loveth. Now, folk, we all are just stop right there. And honestly answer that within our own hearts. Do I really love him? If I don't, a curse awaits, an anathema, if I don't love him. I'm not talking about this that we identify as love today. I'm talking about a soul so in love that the object of that love becomes your pursuit. I sought him, but as will sometimes be your sad statement, I sought him, but I found him not. But as we go on in the following verses, you'll find out that did not stop her. Okay, I didn't find him at church today. I'll go home and see if I can find him there. I didn't find him in my devotion this morning. I'll go home and see if I can find him in my journey today. And so You've got an active soul here in the midst of adverse circumstances, and sometimes, oftentimes, to our sad condition and failure in pursuit of God, sometimes He has to put us in a difficult spot to catch our attention and cause us to get back to duty number one, seeking Him with all our hearts, loving Him, mind, soul, strength, everything. If you're a child, you will find this verse in life not once, but several times. The very essence of Christianity is right here. All can be summed up. One, Christ, one believer in vital union with each other. Summed up in this, here's Christ and a believer. She didn't find Him, but I promise you this, that it was He who began this work in her, a desire to get near to Him. The essence of Christianity is not me performing duties, reading, praying, attending the service, and then getting up, patting myself on the back for having done that God required. My seeking Him, all these might be involved in my seeking Him, but because I do these things does not mean that He's there. A group of religious folks came to the Lord Jesus. They were trying to hem Him up in a corner. And He said to them, "Have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh." God made it. God made it for the specific purpose of representing a believer in Christ. But that light's about gone. You can't find today a home where Christ is identified and recognized by those around due to the union of a husband and a wife. It's like the sun, the light's out. When the sun rises, everybody looks at the creation. That being a bridegroom, that's long been gone. We figured out what makes it shine. Figured out everything about it scientifically, and we've lost the reality of God put the Son up there to identify His Son. Moon, no more giving the light, stars all fallen. You don't know any messengers today. Folk, you think about this a moment. You don't know a young man being raised up for the ministry. Stars, they're not shining. Creation itself is all but dark to an ungodly world. Christianity. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. That's vital union. Every branch that comes out of that tree is going to have the identity of the tree. Can't tell a difference. The marked difference in a branch and the trunk. And every union in a healthy tree, that limb will bear fruit. It's not optional. It's just a fact. If we do not bear fruit, He severs us. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Well, preacher, that's talking about the second coming of the Lord. If that's all that verse is to you, it'll never have any relevance in time. When Christ, who is your life, He's not here. He's not at home tonight. Something has delayed Him. You know, it doesn't matter to us. We got our duties tomorrow. We go on with life, whether He ever shows up or not. But he that is joined to Christ, and Christ in him, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that's what invigorates the life of God in your soul. The appearance of Christ. Now, how long has it been since He's knocked on your heart's door? That I'm home. Would you open up the door and I'll come in? A heart that's in love with Him is sitting at the window looking. Before He gets to the door, He never has to knock. He's already opened the door and said, "Come in, my beloved. Thy Maker is thy husband." Dear, dear soul, how close are you to your husband? And God said He was. We're a long way from Christianity, aren't we? Don't know anything about Him being gone. Don't know anything about us out from under His wings. out from or away from His presence. Don't know anything about that, do we? We just all live as if this is the way it's supposed to be. This is not the way it's supposed to be. A Christian is a man or woman, boy or girl that God has sought out from the masses of humanity. Somewhere in time past, God sent a servant. Don't you take for my son a wife in this land. You go down there. And the servant finds a Rebecca. And harlot religions are all excited when a brother sees the golden bracelets on her arm and the earrings. And all the treasure that the servant has brought with her. And he says, come in, thou blessed of God. You couldn't have all these things if God hadn't blessed you. You come into my house. But Laban and her mother asked, wilt thou go with this man? She had to go with a stranger to meet an unknown man that she had heard enough about that she was willing to give up her life. Back then, you didn't know if you'd see Mama and Dad again. Or ever talk with them again. So God sent a servant, and there is the Spirit of God in your soul that asked, will you go with this man? And you said, yes. And so God, having chosen you out of the mass of humanity, wed ye to the one and only sufficient sacrifice. And God took away a stony heart. And God's been destroying a selfish heart and a selfish identity in you ever since. And God started that person on a daily journey walking with Christ. And the emptiness in your soul and the incompleteness of life and the void that was there was filled with a person. And now your world centers around that person. That's not what I said. That's what God says. If anybody loves father, mother, husband, wife, children, more than me. He or she is not worthy of me. You know, the thing that troubles me greatly is I know that the way is narrow. And I know that few are on that way, but that which troubles me is that it's narrower than I know. And there are fewer on the way than I know. In that soul, there is a daily hunger and a daily thirst, and it's all supplied. A daily hunger and a daily thirst, and it's all supplied with, by walking with the love of your heart. She has become so familiar with Him. Chapters 1 and chapters 2. She has been made sensible of the love of his heart. She has enjoyed such soul-ravishing sights that his absence has created a longing in her soul that destroys that which is essential for you to renew yourself. Sleep. By night, enjoy him so much that in his absence, the very thing essential for the body was taken from her. You want to know what real fast is? It's not you just doing away with food for a few days. There's such an emptiness within that you don't have an appetite. And it was the previous manifestation of his love, the Spirit of God continually revealing a little more of his beauty, that left her with all this emptiness. The one I love is not home. Now, folk, if God would impress that right there on your mind, I'd shut my Bible, we'd be dismissed, and I'd send you home. The one I love is not home. And I don't know where he is. If you had a child that was running hours late, it'd affect every part of your body physically, mentally. And yet Christ can stay away. Folk, the religious world has no concept of his presence. All that she's done is substitute things for him in our lives. I'm talking about you who name the name of Christ. They are so filled with activity that if you squeeze him 10 minutes in a day, he's a fortunate guy. You can't do that to somebody you love. You won't do that. If a family member that has not been home in a long time gets in, you lay aside everything. You haven't seen that son. You haven't seen that daughter. Everything else can go. You're probably busy prior to them getting there, making a lot of preparation for the time they're there. But when they get there, you let everything go. We don't for him. But even in the best of a heart, after him, our nature is such that we are continually walking away from him. And we're following the dictates of a natural heart and natural mind. God told Hosea, he said, I want you to know about the people that are calling me God. I want you to get an idea. Go marry a harlot. Well, God wouldn't tell him to do that literally. He'd be breaking his own laws. Not if God says do it. It's right. But I just wanted the old prophet to know how Israel is acting towards me. Are they God's people? By election of a nation, yes. By election as an individual in that nation, most no. But I've done all this for them, and they've got a lot of different lovers. And then God had to say, I'll hedge up her way with thorns, and I'll make a wall that she cannot find her path. And our nature is such that one moment we are in great pursuit of God, and the next moment another thought has taken us entirely in a different direction. And we cry out, uphold me according to thy word, that my soul may live. And then we're back to the only thing that brings satisfaction and fulfillment to a life. And that's a soul brought back into union with the very author of, creator of that soul. And when he's gone, there's an absence within us that nothing can satisfy. You can't make up that emptiness and that loneliness in a soul that was created only for God. But we've done a pretty good job of filling up our time. Now, you can throw rocks at me later. Just let me get up the hill. We got Twitter. We got Facebook. We got Netflix. We got all kind of entertainments. And these things get more time than God does. Well, you're meddling now. I'm just telling you a fact, folk. We got a greater interest on that that's going on around us than we have in the one that created us. Well, you're just out of step with time. Thank God, thank God that I am. And you're trying to make up that absence and that loneliness and that emptiness with activity. It's not gonna work. Unto Cain in his offering, God said, I had not respect. Not respect. I did not look at, I did not regard. Number one, I did not regard the heart of Cain. Number two, I did not regard the offering that Cain brought. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed. And God said, why art thou wroth? If you do well, you shall be accepted, and your offering. If you get your heart right in this king, I'll accept you and your offering. If you do something about your heart and the sacrifice, I'll accept. The first step in reprobation. Ending in a fully developed apostate is pride suggesting to you, I am as good as anybody else on the church pews and better than most. This is not a comparison thing here, folk. This is you and Christ. Pride suggesting, what I offer the Lord is as sufficient as what anybody else offers Him. Does God accept that you bring to Him? Or do you hear something down within? If you hear anything, go take it to the governor. Take it to some important person and see if they'll accept it. And there's nothing left to do when God gives an individual up other than go start a family and build a city and walk away from the presence of God. You go ahead and do one of these two things right here. You're going to have to make a move towards, or you're going to be moving away from God this very day. Isaiah was listening and he said, somebody called me out of Mount Seir and said to me, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? If somebody here will inquire of me, the answer is the virgins are all asleep, foolish and wise. Christ is missing in our daily lives. Christ is missing in our gatherings. Darkness has encroached upon every one of us. And we've concluded this is the way it's supposed to be. This is what Christianity is all about. Nothing more to Christianity than that I'm doing. But if in the midst of darkness encroaching upon our very lives, virgins being asleep, somebody here would in your soul cry out, I am seeking Him whom my soul loveth. You'll find Him. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as unclean, and all our righteousnesses as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. We've all figured out that God is sovereign. He's going to come in His time. There's nothing I can do. We've figured out that God is a hard and austere man, and we've gone and we've buried our talent in the earth so that we'll at least have that to give to Him when He gets back. And we blame God for our laziness and indifference and lack of seeking Him. And God said, it's your fault. You don't stir up yourself. God said, because you're not stirring up yourself to take hold, thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquity. Paul said, Isaiah, quoting Isaiah, Isaiah was very bold to say, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. But one thing you can bet your eternal soul on is this. When God is found, that life will be a life of active pursuit after God. I will be found of all you, God said. But here's the condition. That's Jeremiah. If you seek me, ye shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'll be found, he said. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And folk, you live all around folks that God has already given up to reprobation. They will never again hear God say anything, have nothing to say. Call ye upon him while he is near. I will be found. A man might make a watch, and he has. And he might know how every little wheel, incorporated with every other little wheel, and how all the springs function in it so that that little hand would move every second, 60 times a minute. And every 60 minutes, and that small hand would move an hour. But he never could relate to the watch personally. And in the beginning, God made this vast machine, grand machine, that nothing's ever been made like it since. Man's never developed a camera like the human eye. He's never built a computer like the human mind. Never. I mean, man-made, you think those computers are all these complex? They are. But man made them. But God made this machine. Wasn't a machine to start with. Had a heart for God. Had a soul, had a mind for God. Had a capacity to love, to know God, to commune with God. But it failed. And God's love was so great for a people that Jesus said, a body hast thou prepared for me. Because God would have that broken, corrupt, defiled body brought back into union with him. A body hast thou prepared for me. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. Now you see something of the bride's heart here. In 3:1, I saw him. And as I quoted to you Wednesday night, the bride eyed not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. Wed to this one. Know this one. Get to walk with this one. I'd sell everything I've got. And I'd give it away. I've already given up my name. And said, that's not worth anything. I'll take your name. Just let me be a part of your bride. Matthew 27, and I'm bringing it all to a close. Please, would you make an honest effort within your soul not to send me home grieving, knowing that God didn't have anything to say today in hearts. wed to him. Man can have anything I got if it takes that to stay with him. Matthew 27. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued. How under God's heaven could man put such a low estimation on the one that God prepared a body of flesh? That's all it was worth, whom they of the children of Israel did value. And they sold him for 30 pieces of silver. That's all he was worth. And you might be selling him for less. I don't know. But verse 12, and when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. He can't. You know the reason he can't? And I'm hoping only in God's grace when I say this. He couldn't say anything because he was guilty. But it was my guilt that he took on him. He answered him nothing. Verse 16. And they had then a notable prisoner. But there's going to be one more notable. They're going to hang him on the middle cross. They're going to have devised a plan in which they can get the maximum suffering out of a human being. A cross. With his knees bent and a spike in them. So that he could push himself up to get another breath of air. The greatest, most notable, guiltiest man that's ever walked the face of God's earth was Christ, but he was sinless, and it was my sin. And you think, when he's gone, I'm going to fill my life with a lot of activity, or am I going to seek him? Matthew 27:51. Jesus, in verse 50, cried again with a loud voice. It is finished. And he yielded up the ghost. No man took his life. He lay it down for you. Verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. But the centurion and the one of the two that were with him feared greatly. But it didn't affect anybody else. Verse 63. The rest of them hung him on the cross, went to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, their hearts were harder than the rocks that broke in pieces when Christ cried." That it never fazed them with all that took place there. That old deceiver said he'd get up the third day. We'd like for you to ensure that his disciples don't come steal him away. We add to that one, I love you to death. You walk with me, you're going to go with me. You're going to get where I am. And please don't ask me to come where you are. He can have everything I got. It's really his to begin with. John Newton. I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near the cross I stood. Sure, near till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt and helped to nail him there. Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where shall my trembling soul be hid? For I, the Lord, have slain. A second look he gave, which said, I freely forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I died that thou mayest live. And you know the hymn, oh, can it be, upon a tree, the Savior died for me. All I want you to do is ask yourself, do you have a soul seeking Him? That's all Christianity is. That's all. Oh, we've got all these other little nice little things added to it. We've got the choirs and we've got the brass and we've got the musical instruments and we've got the stained glass windows and we've got the order in our service and we've got everything down. We don't have Him. Do you have a soul? Seeking Him. If you don't, I don't care what all you've done, you're not a Christian. That's all it is. This, seeking Him.